Other thing that, without a doubt, all of the downsizing and also combination companies is that companies are going to be much more focused and less broad spectrum than they were in the past. I think we'll still see some mergers. I know Arthur D. Little did a study about 6 or 7 years ago that said only the very large chemical companies will be able to survive in the next decade or in the next millennium. I'm not so sure of that. Bigness isn't necessarily betterness, and sometimes bigness you get in your own way. Bigness does provide a lot of resource capability, but it also gets bureaucratized. That's what downsizing has, I think, been heavily about, trying to break up the bureaucracies and try to cause the interactions of the functional parts of the businesses to be closer together. We've seen great things in our chlor-alkali business, which we've now housed at one of our plants. It used to always be here at headquarters. And I think by housing the management, the marketing, the sales organization, the manufacturing organization, the development guys, all at one place. In other words, a business unit concept that's going to have much more strength than this big structural move everybody to an office in Norwalk, Connecticut. They don't even remember what the plants look like.
You received the chemical industry medal in 1996, and the citation read in part, "Your leadership skills, public policy advocacy, and your many contributions to applied chemistry, which you have enhanced the progress of the entire chemical industry." Do you have any comments about that citation to fill out the record that you don't feel you've already mentioned?
Well, as I said, it may go back to Boy Scouts and leadership. I spoke at Pace University as an executive in residence a couple of months ago. And one of their MBA classes, the teacher said, you know, John Jones back here is... works at the chemical bank, and he'd like to know how he might get Shipley's job. And I said, well, if John Jones was in Boy Scouts at 12 years old, he'd probably have a leg up. But if he wasn't, and he's 24 years old, he's still got some time to do some things. And I said, you know, maybe one of the things John Jones needs to do is get involved in some volunteer activities outside his business, where he can either get board exposure or exposure in a different way of working with other people and get to use some leadership skills away from the business. So leadership is certainly critical. And, you know, you look back at your life cycle and leadership requires followership, and I've just had some great people to work with over my career, which has certainly helped to make me successful. And this issue of mentorship that I said earlier, these two people, at least in my life, Boyd and Baldwin, played major roles in both not only my development, but moving me along at a time when probably the moves were right for me. The public policy world was not one, frankly, 15 years ago I had any interest in. When I was in Niagara Falls, I was on the United Way board. But it wasn't something I was very excited about. But when I got down to CMA and I saw where the hell this industry was and what it was facing, and what government could do if it didn't understand the issues, it could be so destructive, that I really became galvanized. It was not an arena I sought out by any stretch of the imagination. But I just felt so damn strongly about having been in this business all my life. I was just afraid that it would get tied up in knots. And so I just decided I had to get out like a few few other people and try to do something about it. And we've made some progress. As I say, I think responsible care has been a big part of it. And the award, frankly, was not something I even thought about. I had been to those award dinners. I knew a lot of the guys that had won it, and all, most of them deserved it, guys like Sir Jenny and Bob Kennedy, good friends of mine. And one day I was out at Pebble Beach. It was early one morning. I think I was still half asleep, and the phone rang. And it was Roger Hurl. Roger at that time was chairman of the SCI. And he said, look, I knew you were out there. Obviously, you're going to go to play golf, so I had to get you early. He said, I wanted to call and tell you that you're going to be awarded the SCI Industry Medal if you can make the dinner or whatever the date was. And I said, Jesus, you know, it was about the last thing in my mind I had thought about. I said, I'm thrilled. And I said, I don't know what the calendar says. I'll be able to work it out. Don't worry about it. So, and it really was. It's I think that particular medal, which is an award from your peers, just means so much to a guy that's spent all the 4 years in this business. Started in 1954 and finished up in 1996. 42 years, 38 of them in the chemical business, and you can call Allies Chemicals, they really are, it's just a specialty form. So it was unique, and the dinner that night was very special. I asked John Schaefer, who was on the Olin board and is president of Research Corporation, which you probably know, which you know gives a university grant, Science Advancement. I asked John to introduce me because, first of all, I'd known him for a long time. Secondly, I thought it was a good opportunity for people to know more about Research Corp, which is a not-for-profit. And thirdly, because John and I grew up in the same town and didn't realize until 3 years ago, and I've known him for 15 years, that we grew up in the same town. He lived on one side of the tracks, I lived on the other. He went to the Lutheran church there, I went to a Lutheran church here. He went to a public school there, I went to a public school there. So he told this story at the SCI dinner about walking down the golf course, and I said to him, you know, where did you grow up, John? And he said, you know, Queens or New York. And I said, I grew up in New York. And I said, where, Queens? Oh, I grew up in Queens. What town? Laurelton. I said, you didn't grow up in Laurelton. I did. I don't remember you. It was really funny. So he told that story at the SCI dinner. But I guess really what that story says is sometimes the world is small and sometimes it's big. And that day we walked down the golf course. We named 30 people that we each knew but didn't know each other. So in my mind, it was a culmination of a life and in a really very, very special industry that has been so dynamic and so fantastic and has gone through so many twists and turns. You know, in the 50s, America dominated the market. The European infrastructure in Germany and England was destroyed. Growth covered all the mistakes of mankind. You just grew fast enough and you made a mistake nobody even noticed. Europe came back strong. Japan expanded. Other parts of the world expanded. America, all of a sudden, had gotten too fat, and that's why we had to come through this downsizing. I think Europe, the chemical industry, has got 10 or 15 tough years ahead of it. I don't think we're through it all yet, but I think we're a long, long way ahead of where they are. And with the social concerns that they've got and the social costs that they've got embedded in their system, I wonder whether they're going to really be competitive. Their innovation is good. I mean, the Europeans, particularly the Germans, are very good inventors. So I got that medal. It was a marvelous night, and I reflect back and say, you know, it's been a pretty good life.
Yes, I think it has been. You have been involved in some of the volunteer activities that you indicated would be helpful to this aspiring lower management person. You referred earlier to being on the Board of Trustees of Hartwick. I'm sure you bring considerable management skills to that post. How do you find your interaction with the college you attended?
It's kind of interesting. I've been on that board for a long time. As a board member, and more and more active, certainly in the more recent years. I had not wanted to be chairman. Frankly, I wanted retirement to have more freedom associated with it. Well, I don't think I'm trapped. I did accept the job because I felt that there was a need there. I talked to several people that are remote chairmen of colleges and asked them how they managed it. They each have a different style. Bob Holland, who was on our board for many years and will likely rejoin our board next year, recently was a president of Ben & Jerry's. He's the guy that has problems with Ben. He's been the chairman of Spelman College in Atlanta and has done a fantastic job. And so I've had his insight and had a pretty good chat with the guy that is the chairman of Hobart and lives in Greenwich and how they do it. We have a pretty good board. The college now is about 1,600 people. We're looking at the start of the possible capital campaign. One of the things I hate is fundraising, but that just comes with the territory, I guess. The college has a relatively new, energetic president who seems to be doing a pretty good job. And we need to refurbish the science facility up there. It's a mess. They just put a new air system in, and I keep reminding them that it's a school, a liberal arts and sciences college. You know, everybody likes to talk about liberal arts. The sciences always drops off the end. And what we're seeing at Hartwick particularly is a resurgence of interest in science degrees. More chemistry, more biochemistry majors. Some of them are pre-med, but some of them are looking at industry opportunities and some academia. And that's refreshing. Sciences were very unpopular in the 70s and when sociology was the great savior of mankind, except nobody could get a job unless they got a degree. So to see people returning to the sciences, I think, is a test that... The other thing, too, is that if America is going to succeed as a country, our population has to have a better understanding of what health science is about. Hartwick now has what they call Curriculum 21. They put it 4 or 5 years ago. Ironically, it looks just like the curriculum when I started school in 1954. It required math. It required at least 1 year of science. In the 60s and 70s, science and math courses dropped off the screen. So first of all, people can't add, they can't divide, and they don't have a clue when they read a newspaper about any kind of an issue involving science. So I think this issue of science education is so important. It's one of the reasons I've been on the Research Corporation board, because it's a science advancement organization, and it's doing a lot with high school teachers. It's, well, I've said to other people, it's kind of the payback time you do. You bring your experience and you try to make a contribution, and you've earned a great living at the trough of the chemical industry for 40 years.
Yesterday, I happened to be reading somewhere that the historical report is that in the political campaign, the tallest candidate usually wins. Well, given your management experience and your unusual height, has political activity attracted you in your retirement?
No. A couple of people have talked to me about it. I don't think I like the spotlight that much, frankly. I think the spotlight on the inspection and introspection, I just don't think I could manage. And I think the press scrutiny that the public arena gets would probably cause me to shoot somebody before I finished my life's career. I think there's a need there. I was almost tempted when we was out in Jackson Hole watching C-SPAN. There's a lot of talk about this new defense panel that they wanted to form, and I've been tempted to call Joe Lieberman, our senator, and say, you know, maybe I could serve on that, because I was involved in the Pentagon with the defense, what they call DPAC, a defense policy and trade organization. There were about 30 of us that met three or four times a year with the Secretary of Defense. But I think I find right now I'm on five commercial boards: Olin, McDermott, American Brands, Phoenix Home Life up in Hartford, Research Corporation Technologies in Tucson, and Hartwick. I find my schedule's pretty full, and I'm not sure that I want to give all those things up for some public adventure that probably would frustrate me. While I consider myself a fairly democratic manager, I'm probably more autocratic than politics could stand.
You made reference a time or two to your wife and to the living conditions that were very favorable for rearing children. Tell me something about your family.
I just took a call from one of my kids at the break. We've been blessed. I have a great wife. We met in high school. She sat, plunked herself down next to me in an English class in our junior year. And we didn't date at the time, as a matter of fact. We each had other romances, but later in college, I called her one night for a date. Eventually married. We have three boys, all grown, all married, all athletes, as you might expect. Two very good basketball players. My oldest boy was a football player, and he's probably he's the intellectual of the family, which doesn't mean the others aren't smart, but Tom went to Wake Forest. He has a graduate degree from the Colgate-Darden at the University of Virginia. He was General Electric Capital. And he's a finance type. He's got a pretty good job. He's married and has two boys. His brother Jim is about 18 months younger. Jim was a very successful basketball player at Wake Forest. He played for the Spurs and the Pistons, and then played in Europe for 5 years. He just married at 35, about a year and a half ago. Then Rob, our youngest guy, who was a surprise, he came 7 years behind everybody else. Sort of the joy of our life. A really great kid. Also a good basketball player. Grew up in half his life in Niagara Falls and then half his life here in Canaan, Connecticut. Went to Annapolis. Decided he didn't like the Navy and resigned and played basketball at Drexel in Philadelphia. Went with IBM for 5 years, and he and his college roommate started a courier business, which is thriving. I mean, it's terrific. The fact that we moved a lot was a virtue and a curse in some senses. Jim, the middle guy, probably was in five grammar schools in 3 years. That was difficult for him. The other guys were a little scattered. They all did their 4 years of high school in the same place, which I think was very important. And I think, frankly, growing up in Niagara Falls, which more they saw because we were there in 66, then we came back, and we were there for 9 years. They saw a very eclectic society there. They saw blue-collar guys. They saw Indians from the Tuscarora Reservation went to the Central School. Executive managers, president's kids. They grew up in a much more diverse school environment. Fortunately, Rob had that background, our youngest guy. When he got down here, he was in junior high school. I mean, New Canaan, Connecticut is an artificial environment. I mean, it's not real. I mean, it's just full of all sorts of wealthy people. Kids 16 years old get red Mercedes to drive to school. I mean, it's crazy. So we were blessed that our kids grew up in those very formative years in much more Americana settings than they did here. I'm not knocking New Canaan, it's just the way it is. But they're all good kids, and they've all got their jobs, and they've all got great wives, and we're a very close family.
It's amazing that you were able to say with such conviction you were a very close family when you had
all
so much travel obligations.
Yeah.
And
it's true. Well, in the early
great weekends, I'm sure.
In the early years, Mother didn't travel much. Once I became seasoned, and she traveled because of sales on weekends occasionally, but the kids were good, and she spent a lot of time with them on weekends, so we went skiing. You know, we could get free time, we'd do things together. And I think the other thing, frankly, is sports. If you can get kids involved in sports, it keeps them away from the bad stuff. And we never had a job. I mean, my kids don't smoke. I mean, they hardly drink. I mean, they're kind of unreal in that sense, because I smoke and I drink. But they don't do those kinds of things. And athletics was a big part of keeping them away from the bad stuff. And again, that's leadership opportunity. They didn't take quite the scouting as I did, although my oldest son became very active. At my request, these last couple of years, he's been treasurer of the Fairfield County Boy Scout Council here. So, it's neat. I think I could safely say that my three boys are my best friends.
That's very good. Anything else you think needs to be added to the recording for a complete picture of your career?
Yeah. Well, I just sort of see my career in a new phase now, in a sense. I'm remaining on the Olin board, which leaves me in touch with the chemical industry. And my involvement with Research Corporation keeps me involved with the education side of that and the grant giving and also Research Corporation technology, so I get to see at least some of the university transfer things that are coming through, and I want to kind of keep doing that. It's I think the industry is going to grow at an even more rapid pace, but I'm just pleased to have been part of it, and I don't know. Being in the right place at the right time has a lot to do with success. You also have to have something going for you. And you can equally blow it if you don't manage it right. But the people, I think, in the industry, as I said once quite a ways back in this tape, is what's made this industry great. Just super people, intellectual but fun, stimulating to be with. And like I said, when I was in the alloys business, I missed that. It was good to be back.
Thank you for being so generous for your time and your recollection. It's been a pleasure to listen to you.
Yeah, thank you, Jim.